I did it again. I stayed up trying to get something together, and then at the last moment I realized, oh, I don't want to do this. But hallelujah. I really appreciate kind of just coming unprepared, because I think it's good to study things out and be prepared when you give something for the edification of the brothers. But also, there's this thing in me that I want to be able to just come up here and not be nervous or not be afraid, but just to be able to speak freely. So not having anything kind of puts you in that place. And I think it's really challenging, but at the same time, I want to be challenged there. So just to let you know, it's going to be a little shorter than last week, or the last time I did my devotional. I think I went a little longer than usual. I'm kind of struggling to figure out what is an acceptable devotional, like what is a devotional. And so I just had a few thoughts that I've been kind of mulling around in my head for the last month or so, and just thought to share some of those. And then I have a short devotional and maybe a scripture. This is actually a real devotional. It just packs a bunch of stuff in together. I would like to be able to do that one day, but I haven't prepared something like that. So I was just going to read from my devotional that's already prepared. And I would just like to say it does take verses out of context. So that could be dangerous. But at the same time, if you realize, if you understand the scriptures and you know that it's sound, you can see that some of these things are not. The context is still there. It's just combined. I'm not sure how to say that. But anyways, my first thought was from Isaiah 9:6, how it speaks about the Prince of Peace, Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And if you think about that, he's the Prince of Peace. He's his dominion is peace. And that word peace in Hebrew is shalom. He's the peace of shalom, which it's more than just peace that we know of in the English language. It's like a soundness or a completeness, a wholeness. So he's the Prince of soundness. He's the Prince of completeness and wholeness. And that's his dominion. That's where he reigns. That's who he reigns over, those that are filled with this soundness and this completeness. And just in relation to our understanding, we need to have a sound understanding of the scriptures for him to be our ruler, for like that's who he can guide and lead, as those who are dealing with the scriptures in a balanced and a sound manner. And there's a lot I'd like to speak about. Maybe one day I'd like to give a main message about just the love of Christ and how it relates to that soundness. A lot of people think of the love of Christ, you know, they think of that word love, and it can mean a number of different things, or there's a number of different meanings to one word, and the word is love. And so you can just say love and it's this type of love, or you can say love and it's this type of love, but it's just the one word on these four different definitions. And so it can get a little confusing. And so one day I think I would like to talk about that, but that I'll save that for another day. So I would like to look in Ephesians 3. Starting in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So the scripture that really stands out to me is 17 and 18. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Now, just consider what it's saying here. It's saying that, well, this is what I think it's saying. Unless we're rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, we're not going to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth. So it's by this love, by the love of Christ, that we're able to comprehend, that we're able to see, that we're able to hear and to know. And so it is a very important topic. It's pretty in depth, the love of Christ. You know, it says to love as Christ loved, and there's something there. Like to love as Christ loved, that means to love the way that He loved, and one way that He loved was He worked no ill to His neighbor. It says love worketh no ill to His neighbor. So He gave us this example of somebody who was pure and holy and righteous, and that in His indeed and in truth He was loving us by this pure example. He was working no ill to His neighbor. He was not a stumbling block to His neighbor, and that's what it is to truly love somebody: is to not be a stumbling block, to be walking in the light, and to be keeping His commandments. But that's a bigger subject for a devotional. That actually led me to some thoughts recently about parenting. I'm just a younger parent. I do have 6 children, but still I do feel pretty inexperienced in this area. But a lot of the books on parenting, not like Walter, he's got a lot of experience, but a lot of the books on parenting, what they do is they focus on the children, like the children, like this is the children, you know. But I heard recently that somebody was bringing out the point of how children, they're just like little mimics. All they do is they just copy their parents. Like you're there and they just copy you. Like I even see my children, like that's something that I can recognize being a young parent, is that my children just copy me. They're just doing what I'm doing. I can say all these things. I can try to speak into their life, but they're actually just going to do what I'm doing in the end. And so, I mean, maybe there's something to that, but still, if you think about Jesus and us being His children, that's what He does. Like He gives us this example to follow. Like He focuses on Himself to be that light to us, so we have something tangible to look to. And as parents, I think that's a really good strategy to focus on, is just focusing on ourselves. If we focus on ourselves, then our children can see, they can have something to strive for, not just some words and some instruction, but they can have a real tangible example to follow. And that just really helped me with child training, because I think sometimes I focus too much on what I'm telling them and not so much on what I'm doing. And I just need to focus on myself, get my life right, and then everything else, I think, will fall in place. When I had mentioned this to somebody, they said, oh, you know, I've made so many mistakes. And then I thought, you know, yeah, we make a lot of mistakes as parents, but if we're willing to confess our faults to our children, to acknowledge our wrongs and say, hey, look, Papa messed up there. You know, we're able to be honest with that and have the courage to bring it out to our children. That is a good example. So you don't have to be getting everything right as a parent, but if when you get something wrong, you acknowledge that and you show your children that humility of acknowledging your transgressions to them and you know, letting them see that's a good example. So times when you've made mistakes in the past, it doesn't have to be in waste. It can turn around for good. God can use it. And maybe one last thought about trees. This is my devotional. I'm sorry, it's a little scattered, but kind of. Oops. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I just really like these devotionals. They're really compact. They just really bless me. I might share one more if you can find it. Oh, well, I can't find it, but anyways, I hope this little bit that I shared was a blessing to you, and if you wanted to add anything, that would be a blessing.
Thank you, brother, for sharing that short, simple, and challenging. Parallels well with some thoughts I've had this week, just considering the love of God and the way it was manifested, even at the cross. Even at the cross, we think of the cross as a pretty cruel, pretty painful thing. It says of Jesus, he was so despised that people hid their face from him. They couldn't bear to see him. Yet his short period of suffering was atonement for the sins of the whole world. Is that not the mercy of God? How much suffering should my sins alone cost someone, myself or someone? But think about it. The sins of the whole world, every sin that has ever been committed, we know how depraved the world is. Their terrible idolatry, their fornication, their drunkenness, the list goes on and on. Yet for a short period of suffering, the Lord has extended forgiveness to everyone that will accept it. It's more than I can get my mind around. It was a thought for the whole week, and I expect it to be good for a couple more weeks of just considering, and then we have to look at ourselves and how we lead out as fathers, as husbands, people with others whom we interact with in a work situation. How do we do? Are we merciful? Are we patient? You know, there's times when we have to take measures to correct behavior, definitely. But do we do as God does? You know, he just did what it took to make a way for humanity to be reconciled with him. There's a day coming when the world shall drink of the wrath of God to the uttermost. But today we live in the age of grace, where for the suffering of Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven. We can repent. We can come to him. He says, come, you know, let's make a deal here. Though your sins will be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. We have an extreme advantage in our favor. Are we willing to extend that to others? You know, just do what it takes to correct the behavior, to establish one's way in the right way, or Or do we, are when we're offended, when we're slighted, do we feel like we need to take, you know, the other person needs to pay. There needs to be, you know, they need to pay in full. Those are just some challenges for me, especially being a father and employer of sorts. So I just desire to you know, pattern and follow the example that our Heavenly Father has laid forth for us. And I appreciate the devotional as well, and feel like it was a challenge to more of the same. And pray that we could all grow in that, and in that understanding, and know how to implement it, because as Brother Tail mentioned, there's others who will pattern after us. Very sobering. So the Lord be praised, and may we grow in His image.
Yeah, I just wanted to say amen. The part about our children imitating us, I find that I've found that to be true. I can see a lot of myself when I was young, when I was in school, and in my children. Sometimes the children will be acting a certain way or doing a certain thing or have a certain attitude towards their schoolwork or something, and it will remind me of when I was in school, and I'll just think that was me. Jesus told the I guess it was the Jews, that if they were Abraham's children, they would do Abraham's works. So, and he also used that analogy of really of children being there was another place I'm thinking, can't think of it right now, but analogy that I thought I had it in mind even to quote, that he used to say that if they were children, they would do a certain thing, but I can't think of it right now. I did have a question, Teo. The verse, or I took it as a verse about the trees, where it said he made the tall tree short, like the short tree long, the green tree dry, and the dry tree green. What was there a reference to the, what, I must have missed it. Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's not like one. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't immediately recognize ever having read that quite like that. Anyway, God bless.
I just wanted to share a few thoughts I had. I appreciate what was shared. I don't think messages, and especially openings or devotions, need to be long studied out messages. I appreciate just sharing short, simple lessons like you did. Some thoughts I had, and I've only thought about them for a few minutes now, so somebody may point out that this doesn't hold true all the way through. But so Jesus, you started by saying, like, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the prophets talk about it. He'll be the Prince of Peace. As soon as Jesus was born, it was talked about. Like, you know, soon as he was born, the sky lit up in the night and the angels came down and said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. The apostles talk about it afterward. But Jesus himself, I don't know, I just don't get from his message that he went around convincing everybody, trying to convince everybody that, hey guys, I'm bringing peace. Instead, he said, I came not to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword. Did Jesus ever preach a sermon about healing people? Not that I know of, but he went all around healing people. He didn't have to convince people with his mouth that he was healing or that he was the great healer. Yet he just went around healing people. I almost think Jesus went around less trying to tell people like, hey guys, I am love. I'm showing you how to love. Rather, he went around like convicting people of their sin, and yet everybody, all the prophets before him and all the disciples after him say like, Jesus, he is, and like, he is love. And like Teo said, like, here is the example of love. And I think it just ties in with what you said about child training. Like, we can write books, we can talk about it, we can preach sermons about it, and but the real thing is, are we just doing it? Or those little children who mimic us, do they show that we know something about child training? My dad used to tell this story about a guy that wrote a book that said the Ten Commandments in child training, and once he had his first child, after that, he wrote a book that said 10 suggestions about child training. And after he had the second one, he wrote something like some ideas on child training. And after the third one, he just quit writing. Anyway, I think Jesus is the Prince of Peace who has a peace not as the world gives. But a peace that passes understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Teo. And I appreciate the comments of Will and Norman and Brother Duane. I thought of a worldly song when you started reading Ephesians 3 about the love of Christ passes width and breadth and understanding and all these things. And not to glorify a foolish worldly song, but I remember the lyrics was, you're just, it was a love song, you're just too good to be true, I can't take my eyes off of you. And when you think of, and that was for a man talking about his wife or his, you know, soon to be wife, and when you think of the love of Christ, it's just too good to be true. We can't, like you said, he died for the sins of all the world, of all time. And we just, you know, I can think of the innumerable sins I've committed of things, and that's nothing. He's just too good to be true. The Lord be magnified for that. And a lot of times I think people, they're popular gospel. Here I go. No, I'm not just picking on the evangelical gospel, but they just use repentance. I used to be a drunk, stop drinking, used to fornicate, stop fornicating, used to steal, stop. It goes to beyond that, it seems, in 1 John. We know we have assurance and confidence before God when we love the brethren. Here we go. It's not just love, but our love, our mutual love, fervent love. Like you said, we're a family. It's love. It's the love. That's one of the barometers or the handlers, call it what you will, to check our thing. Do we really love the brethren? We love our enemies? Yeah, we can say. Do we really love the brethren? We really pray when someone gets sick and hurting. And the last point would be on parenting, brother. You said parenting, and one of my hobby horses is homeschooling. I'm against all schools, public schools, church schools. I'm against them. And I realize there are some times that single parents can send their child to a religious school. I had parochial school, Catholic school. It was a nightmare, just complete worldliness. But anyway, on parenting, Deuteronomy 6, teach them when they rise up, on the way, teach them before they go to bed. That's the responsibilities of fathers and mothers. And Ephesians 6, of course, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord and do what they say. And and that's parenting. And I'll use a story that I heard on homeschooling versus any other type of school. And your brothers can correct me on this like this, but it was about a man and his husband and his wife, and they had their 20th wedding anniversary, and they said, "What are we going to do?" or something like this. And the man said, "Well, I know there's this man. He's a professional dater. He can take you out and take you to the restaurant, and he will give you the time of your life. He'll take you out, a professional dater for your anniversary." Now, how sinful and stupid is that, right? The same thing goes for your children. If you want to put your children out to some worldly people in public schools or whatever, your God-given responsibility, I know it may be a direct hit, but a professional dater would be an abomination. How about letting your children being taught by someone else that may not even be a Christian, of public schools, no one is Christian, how they would send their children to public school, it would be almost impossible to, but how you, the parenting thing that Brother Teo was saying about what a responsibility we all have to raise our children, and let's live up to that. And you know, you think, well, I'm not qualified to be a teacher. I can't teach them algebra and all that. God will provide. And you people here, some of them, you have seventh grade educations. You're a model for some of us that have had several years of college on that. Don't parent. God will give you the answer. The Lord be magnified.
Unto thee, O Lord,
unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul.
Do
I lift up my soul?
And true.
not be ashamed.